شكراً يا ربي شكراً.
مركز صحابة أونلاين راديو serving you wherever you are.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say Ahlan wa Sahlan wa Marhaba. We welcome you to this program, Al-Fiqh al-Madahib al-Arba'ah, Jurisprudence according to the four schools of thought. And we mentioned quickly our zakat nisab is at 7,624 rands, minimum mahar is at 386 rands, Mahri Fatimi is at 19,061 rands. Remember, Sadaqatul Fitr and Fidya is at 30 rands. Listeners are encouraged to send their queries to 084-786-3132. That's 084-786-3132. And if you are in a foreign country, then it's +27 84 786 3132. So we welcome our Honorable Mufti Sahib, Mufti AK Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa Zaid Khan. Jazakallahu khairan.
I see Mufti Sahib is ever ready with his AK, and as we start to fire up these questions on the last day of Ramadan, our first question, Mufti Sahib, is if a person travels to a country and reaches there when it is the 31st day for him, what should he do? And it's still Ramadan in this first place where he was.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, in South Africa, it is the 30th of Ramadan, 1442. And in many other parts of the world, it is the 1st of Shawwal, Eidul Fitr. So wherever you are and you're celebrating Eid, we say, Taqabbal Allahu minna wa minkum. InshaAllah, we will celebrate Eidul Fitr tomorrow, InshaAllah al-Aziz. I, put myself, InshaAllah, will be there in Crosby, and that is Masjid Farooq. The lecture will start around 10 past 7, inshallah, and 7:30, 7:35 will be the Salat. It will be live on Markaz Sahaba, inshallah al-Aziz, tomorrow morning. Okay, this question, Maulana Zaid, you asked, it happened really because, you know, one of my friends, his daughter is married there in Qatar, in Doha, and now they came for a holiday. So they started one day before us, you know, following Makkah, Medina and Masjid Aqsa and so forth. So now they said, if Eid is on Friday in South Africa, so this will become her 31st fast. So what must they do? I said, no, they must keep the fast. So in Islam, you must remember the minimum amount of days for fasting or any Islamic lunar month is 29 days and maximum is 30 days. That is Allah sabil Ijtima, that is collectively. But you can get, sometimes you must remember that what happens is that it goes to 31 days like this here. So because Makkah Mukarramah had 30 days, we have 30 days, and they started one day before us. So what will happen is that person who came from Makkah Mukarramah, Qatar, or Palestine, Jerusalem, and so forth, so say South Africa, so yes, they must keep that fast today and so forth. So in Firaden, you'll get some isolated individual cases like that. Now, similarly, you can get the opposite as well. Say, for example, that you started one day late, right? You started, say, after Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah, Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak. And now, when you went there, they had 29 fasts. And then they had Eid. So now yours became 28 days fast. So in that day, that case there, that you will have to keep one day qada after Eid any time. So that will be compulsory upon you. So the usul, the principle you must remember is this, that in Islam, at the collective level, you can't have more than 30 days and you can't have less than 29 days. But individual isolated cases, it can happen that man works Aksar to be 28, especially nowadays with traveling. You go from this country to that country, you break so many time zones and what have you. And, you know, it could happen that you get 31 and so forth. So that are the maslas. So if it's 28 days, one day qaza is compulsory. If it's 31 days, yes, you should fast on that day. So like those couple who I know, so you must, I performed their nikah also. So anyway, you must remember that they must be fasting today. They can't say, no, our 30 is finished and we won't fast and tomorrow we eat. No, that's wrong. They must fast today as well.
Mufti Sahab, the next question is, what actions should be done? Like, for example, today is after Maghrib will be Eid. So what actions should be done tonight?
Remember that tonight, if you look at it, like how we said on 21st, 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th, the possibility was there for Laylatul Qadr and so forth. So you must remember, although most ahadith and so forth and sahaba and ulama also state that 27th night is the most likely. So tonight also has a special night, the Eidul, the night of Eid. So where Eid is tomorrow, obviously Friday. So tonight is called Laylatul Jaiza. So Laylatul Jawaiz. So you know today if you go to the Arab country, university, school, they will say, hey, Yawmul Jawaiz, today is the day of rewards and awards. We're giving out prizes to those who came out first, second, third, those who came out with 100% attendance, those who passed with distinction and Kamlo Day and so forth and so on. So this is a gift from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. It's a lengthy topic, but I'll just summarize it. And inshallah, Mawlana, I think you got some Eid lecture. You can use it also on Eid Day. And for all the ulama and students who are delivering lectures, so remember that what is this? Laylatul Jaiza. If you want reference, open Targhib wa Tarib, open Fazail Ramadan and all that of Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykhul Hadith, Nawwar Allah Marqadahu, you'll find it there. It is this, that the people are waiting. Easy example for our puny little brains is this, that when you wrote your matric exam, your university exam, now you are waiting anxiously. Did I pass? Did I pass with 7 distinctions, 8 distinctions? Did I fail? Did I scrape through? So the true Muslim, the one who's going to celebrate Eid the next day, so the night of Eid, so what he is, he's begging Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta sami'ul alim. Oh, our beloved Allah, accept from us. Because you are Allah, you are all hearing, all knowing, O beloved Allah. We petition you, we beg you, we beseech you, Ya Allah. And we follow in the footsteps of the Anbiya, the prophets and messengers. So take 3 other lessons regarding this. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states in the Noble Quran, Innama yataqabbalu Allahu min al-muttaqeen. Mawlana, this much you also know. Innama comes for hasr and qasr. Exclusively, only Allah will accept from those people who have taqwa and true piety. What was the purpose of fasting? Surah 2, verse 183, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So if we had the taqwa and our siyam, our qiyam, our sadaqat, our khairat, our tilaw, whatever good we did, righteous deeds and actions, then inshallah, we must remain positive. Make shukr to Allah, the day of Eid is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you're grateful to Almighty Allah. So what will happen? Allah will accept it. Commenting on this verse, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, who was a linguist par excellence among the Sahaba, he was considered one of the greatest as far as the Arabic language used to go. So nevertheless, he, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, used to say that one is to execute and do the action, but more important than doing the action is to beg Allah and ask him for qabuliyat and acceptance. So imagine how important it is. Tirmidhi Sharif's hadith we go to now. Quran Sharif teaches us, وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Their hearts are trembling because we're going to return to Allah. Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq, Sayyida Aisha radiyallahu anha, Siddiq ki ladli on Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki pyari. That is how you introduce Siddiqa. Siddiq ki ladli on Mustafa habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam ki pyari. She was the mahbuba, the most beloved wife after Sayyida Khadija radiyallahu anha's demise. With Sayyida Khadija, there was no other wife radiyallahu anha. So Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiyallahu anha, Ya Rasulullah, that the hearts are trembling, shivering. Who are these people? Are they those yasriqoon, who has known that they were committing fornication, adultery, stealing, fraud, theft? La ya bint Siddiq. No. That meaning is wrong. That interpretation is incorrect. They are those people, yuswalloon, wa yasumoon, wa yatasaddaqoon, wa yakhafoon. That hadith in Tirmidhi go open. So they were reading salat, they were fasting, giving charity, but they feared, will they be min al-maqbooleen or min al-matrudeen? Will they be from the accepted ones or the rejected ones? Allah is praising the beloved sahaba, the beloved students and companions of the Master alayhi salatu salam. So don't kill time today and waste time and tonight as well, that we should be begging, petitioning Almighty Allah for qabooliyat and istiqamat. Al-hasanatu ba'd al-hasana, to continue with the good deeds from tomorrow, so that is a sign of qabooliyat and acceptance. And from tomorrow we start missing our salat, we start missing from Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, we back to normal relapse. You know how in the drug industry, the people who are on drugs, Allah forbid, they say there's a relapse. So we go in that, that's a sign of rejection. We must remember that very clearly. And hadith in Ibn Majah, hadith in Targhib wa Tarhib, and Imam Shafi's verdict also will mention, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahya laylatayil eedain, or eed al-fitri wa eed al-adha, lam yamud qalbuhu, that the day yawm atamu, that the day of Qiyamah, people's hearts will be dead. The kuffar, the mushrikeen, the munafikeen, the hypocrites who only paid love service to Islam. So they will be dispatched to Jahannam, all this enshrined in the noble Quran. But these people who stayed awake on the night of Eid Eve, so to make you understand, so tonight for us, so remember that Allah Jalla wa Ala will keep them safe and sound, protected, and protect them, inshallah, from the horror and terror of the day of Qiyamah as well. So that's one point. If you study Al-Imam Shafi'i's works, one is his Kitabul So in there he writes, there are five nights and important nights and days and so forth. So what did he say? He said that the night of Jumu'ah, the two nights of Eid, 15 Shaban, first of Rajab. So all this Imam Shafi'i said, these are not ordinary people. These are the giants of the Ummah. Put all of us together here in South Africa, we can never reach Imam Shafi'i's rank. So remember that. That is Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. So great, great scholars have encouraged this. So therefore we should ensure we take the maximum benefit, inshallah.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is from a new Muslim. She says that I don't understand how the day and night works on the Islamic calendar. Can Mufti Sahib please explain it?
Very easy. So the night comes first. For example, tomorrow is Friday, so today when sunset takes place, then Friday has started. So if somebody passes away tonight, so we'll say he or she passed away on the night of Friday, the day of Friday, and great virtue for that person, provided that he or she, you must remember that person passed away with Iman and Islam. مَنْ تَوَفَّاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْجُمُعَةِ أَوْ لَيْلَتَهَا وَقَاهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فِتْنَةِ الْقَبَرِ. So Maghrib to Maghrib, sunset to sunset is one day. So that is how Islam works. So meaning that person, Allah will protect him or her. When they died on the night of Friday tonight, remember, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah passed away like that. Imam Bukhari passed away on the night of Eid, and some ulama say last day of Ramadan, but definitely he was buried on the day of Eid. And we went there to his grave Mubarak in Uzbekistan. That area is called Khartang. You know why it's called Khartang? So many people came. Khar, that horses, donkeys, and whatever modes of transport, means of conveyance they could find. Then it became so narrow, there was a big traffic jam. So therefore the name came Khartang. So there we went to him, mashallah, and his grave Mubarak and so forth. So that happened to Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. So the point I'm making here is this, that remember that Maghrib to Maghrib is one day in Islam, sunset to sunset. So if a person passes away tonight, tomorrow, you will say he passed away on a Jumu'ah on Friday. So not the burial, remember, the death must take place. Sometimes people pass away now on a Thursday, but they buried, you must remember, after Maghrib, after Isha, they say he passed away on Friday. No, death got no virtue. Virtue is the person must pass away on a Friday. So the night of Friday or the day of Friday.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is, a person says that Eid is a great day and we encourage to please Allah at all times. So how come we can't fast on the day of Eid?
So because you must remember, Islam says how it is mentioned there for the days of Eid al-Adha, Ayyamu Aklin wa Shurbin wa Dhikrillah. So what must you do? It is the day that you must eat, you drink, you thank Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and you make zikr of Almighty Allah. So Islam is not a dry religion. It gives us 2 days in a year where you have celebrations. But that celebration is not like the non-Muslim with their wine, dine and swine. Write it down if you want. One day in my life, you write the biography. On the 1st of January, 1st of January 2001, I went to Niagara Falls. You see, I was in America, 2000 and 2001, I was in Canada. So, you know how cold it was, minus 18 degrees. So, that even the water there, because I saw it in summer also. So, now to show my wife and them. So, anyway, so we went, it was winter, the water frozen, everything. And you just walk around there, you'll just see bottles, and you'll see condoms, and I don't know what and what you will see there. That is the non-Muslim way, you must remember, of what? Celebrating. That with their wine, dine, and swine, and condom culture, and so forth. CC, we call it, condom culture. So remember that. That is kuffar way, that is. Islamic way is, la'allakum tashkurun. So 5 days in a year, Islam says you can't keep fast. One is first Shawwal, for us in South Africa tomorrow, right? And other countries celebrating, so today they can't fast because they already make Eid, today's Eid for them. Second one is the 10th of Zulhijjah, and then 11, 12, 13, because you're going to slaughter and eat and drink and so forth. So therefore, and remember, Islam is not selfish. Islam says you must empower the poor. So Eid al-Fitr, we give out Sadaqatul Fitr. So we say, told you, give it out today, please, I beg you, all the listeners of Sirius FM, all the listeners of Barakat Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah, all you who are members and part and parcel of Darul Iman, the voice of the voiceless. So remember that, make sure today you must give it out, your fitrah, 30 rand per person, Hanafis, 60 rand for Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis, 2 US dollars Hanafis, and 4 US dollars, remember, for Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis. So you must do that today, please. So in a case like that, so it, what happens? So these poor Muslims can also enjoy a wonderful meal. They can wear nice clothes and so forth and so on. So that is the wisdom. And there, 10th, you must remember, we slaughtered the animal. And 11, 12, 13 is Ayyamu Tashriq. So those 4 days you can't fast. So total 5 days there, because you're going to slaughter, you're going to eat, you're going to drink, you're going to feed people. Kulu wa atimu wa dakhiru. Mustafa rahmatulil alameen sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for Eid al-Adha, you must eat, you must feed others, you can store it also. You know, our South Africans, they love to make biltong and so forth. So all that is permissible, provided that the animal itself is not stunned and haram and all that, is done everything in a proper manner, then it's very good.
Mufti Saab, the next question is from a new Muslim as well, and they say that I enjoy your programs, Mufti Saab, but I don't understand the four schools of thought. I always thought there's only one straight path.
Remember, the path is one, but you must remember that is on fundamental issues. But when it comes to secondary issues, they scope for interpretation. So it's not they take out from their pocket. You must remember that they also take out this word can mean this meaning and that meaning. You go in the Sunnah, you find this hadith and that hadith. See, I tell you three things, it will help you in life. Al-Imam Shafi, the more I study him, I admire him. Such a great giant he was, you know. Al-Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, used to say, and for you students and all, that is very good, the saying. And if you want reference of it, Hazrat Mufti Rashid Ahmad wrote it in his book on his Bukhari Sharif, like, you know, in Amul Bari, ala Sahih al-Bukhari and that. So anyway, so the point here is this, Irshadul Qari it is. Anyway, so the point here is this, that the Mufti Rashid Sahib, he wrote, I have it by me. He wrote, when he wrote under the discussion of hadith, قال الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله إمام الشافعي رحمه الله said جميع ما تقوله الأئمة whatever the imams are saying, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik and whoever else and the others before them, so what they said, it is شرح للسنة, is elaboration, explanation of the sunnah of Nabi عليه الصلاة والسلام. جميع ما تقوله السنة, and the sunnah itself is شرح للقرآن, is commentary of the Quran. Now you, my brother, sister, who embrace Islam, I want you to open the noble Quran, or otherwise make a mental note of it, or write it down, right? So you will see in the Quran Sharif, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us about Nabi Dawood alayhi salam and Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam. Now with that, you must remember, there's a hadith in Sunan Nasai. When he, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi Salatu Salam, reconstructed Masjid al-Aqsa, then he begged, he petitioned Allah, three du'as he made. Rabbi habli mulkan la yanbaghi li ahadin min ba'di. Oh my Allah, grant me such a spectacular, magnificent kingdom, it must not be granted and given to anybody after me. Fa'a'tahu iya, Allah gave him. And it's in the Quran also, said chapter 38, verse 35. Second dua he made, Uwafiku hukmi hukmak. My verdict, my judgment was concur and agree with your judgment, Ya Allah. So what the Westerners did, they stole this part of the hadith. They say you need the wisdom of Solomon to unravel this knot. You see? So fa'atahu, Ya Allah gave him. Third one, man that who man ata hadal bait, who comes to Masjid al-Aqsa with no ulterior motive, no hidden agenda, la yuridu illa salata fi, you come there to read salat, then what will happen? Raja'a kayawmin waladatu ummuhu, the person, or kharaja min dhunubihi kayawmin waladatu ummuhu, this type of words you will find, that he comes out from his vices and sins like the day his biological mother gave birth to. The hadith sahih, authentic hadith. So remember these things here. So when we said this, so now you go to Aqsa, so you will see all this, alhamdulillah. Make dua for Aqsa and Palestine. And Allah dismantle and destroy the apartheid Nazi regime as well. Ameen. Okay, now we see in Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, verses 78-79. You wrote it down, my dear brother, sister. So remember chapter 21, verses 78-79. This one qadiyya, this one issue. You must remember the animals came, goat, sheep, whatever does that. They entered somebody else's farm and they caused mayhem, chaos in that farm there. So they came now, both parties, to Nabi Dawood al-Islam. He's the father, the senior. He passed the verdict. He said all the animals will be given to that farmer. They passed the Nabi Sulaiman al-Islam chamber. He said no. He said that you keep the animals and that person must look after your farm and bring it back to the condition that it was initially before his animals came and caused harm. So two different verdicts on the same issue. What you will say? Allah says, وَكُلَّنَا عَتَيْنَا حُكْمَهُ وَإِلْمًا. We gave both of them wisdom. We gave both of them judgment. We gave both of them knowledge. But the better verdict was whose? فَفَهَمْنَا سُلَيْمَان. And we gave the son, Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salatu salam, greater insight and profound knowledge regarding. So one issue, two different verdicts, Allah speaks. So we reject that, my brother, sister. Then Islam, when it comes to jurisprudence and so forth, that you will only have one verdict. You must remember, in Islam we have multiple truths as well. You are reading Quran. Now you are finishing your Quran today. Allah gave us extra day so we can finish Quran, we can make ibadat and so forth. Sajda tilawat. So I take you through. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, 15 sajdas in the Quran. Make all 15. Imam Shafi Rahimullah, 14. He says, Surah Sa'd, you must not make sajda. So we asked him why. Asked him, meaning in his books. So he said that is sajda is shukr. It's not sajda tilawat. When we go to the Hanafi school, they say 14. So we asked Imam Abu Hanifa, his students, why you all say this? They say this is sajda is salat. It's not sajda tilawat. The second sajda in Surah Hajj. I'm giving you the rationale and the underlying reason. We went to Imam Malik Rahimullah, Imam Dar al-Hijra, the one in Medina. So what he said, 11 sajda. Subhanallah. One issue, four different verdicts. He said the second sajda, you don't make of Surah Hajj like the Hanafis, and the last three, the one in Najmi, and the Sama'un Shaqqat and Iqra Bismi. So we will say Islam allows on secondary issues, subsidiary issues, multiple verdicts and multiple truths. Remember that. And that is the greatness of Islam, the dynamics of Islam, and it will really help you when you are in a tight corner. How? When the Hanafi touches his wife, so what happens? The wife's wudu is valid, and the husband's wudu is valid. Skin to skin you touch. But when you ask the Shafis, then Hajj, whichever way you touch her, you kiss her, your wudu is broken. And her wudu also is broken. You touch her skin to skin, your wudu is broken. Now imagine Hajj time when they go, before all this COVID business and Corona and all. Pre-COVID, let's call it. So 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people. So now if the men touch you, the woman touch you, when you're making tawaf, when you are here, there, by mistake things happen. So there will be so much haraj, so much harm. So the Shafis, Hanbalis, Malikis, they are forced to and compelled. They'll say, no, in this instance, we will follow the Hanafi school. How the Hanafi school will follow the other schools? The husband got lost. Hanafi school, you must wait 90-100 years. By the time we wait 90, we all will be dead. You must remember that. So you must remember, so you then pass the verdict according to the Maliki school of 4 years and so forth, or 1 year also, some ulama say. So you see that end of the day, that they came to explain and expound on the Sharia and not come with a new Sharia, but the same Sharia, but to elaborate and explain the different circumstances.
We welcome all our esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba to this program, Al-Fiqhu ala al-Madahib al-Arba'a, Jurisprudence According to the four schools of thought. And alhamdulillah, just before this, a new Muslim answered, questioned a very good question about the four schools of thought, and amazing answers were given, and that made me also understand, and we looked at the references in the Quran, and alhamdulillah, this opens up our minds to say that the straight path is one, but there are many ways to get to that path. So inshallah, we'll continue now. And Mufti Sahab, the next question is, where can we go pray Salah at any masjid behind any imam?
Regarding the previous question about the four schools, in this day and this age where people are so lackadaisical, 90%, 80% of the ummah ignorant of Quran and Sunnah and fiqh and all that. So therefore, we must add another dimension to it, and that is wajib, compulsory, you follow one school. No jumping and dancing about from here to there. Have you seen that person who's made his God his desires? You will see majority, I don't say all, but majority of the Salafis and the chaps here, that they jump from here to there to there to there. So then end end of the day, dwallu wa dwallu. They themselves also astray, and they lead others astray. Therefore, for us, whether you call yourself student, alim, whatever, is wajib. Today, there's no mujtahid and that in that sense there, that it become mujtahid and mutlaq and all that. These are all now big terms. People get confused. So anyway, you must remember that who can become like Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi and Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad in this day and this age? People don't even know 1,000 hadiths properly today. So anyway, you must remember that's why we must follow one particular school of jurisprudence. Very good question that where must you go for Eid Salat and so forth. So in your town, mashallah, if there's an Eidgah, you go there. If they don't have Eidgah, they got masjid, you go there. They have multiple Eidgahs and so forth, multiple masjid. So we get questions like that also. So that let me give it in a negative. It'll make life easy. So number one is that if that imam is a Qadiani, is a Shia, and all that, they are non-Muslim. You can't read any salat behind them. They're non-Muslim. It's out of the question. Finish. Number two is if your imam is an open transgressor of the Sharia. So he's on TV, he's acting there, and he's got his shows there, and all these type of things. So people like that, our fatwa is that you can't read salat behind them. Kainan and mankan. So they got shows and they got the promoting this woman who are LGBT and what, then what things they promote and all these type of things. So, and they can't speak one word against the Shias because they take money from the Shia supporters and so forth. And they close masjids and my Eidgah. So these chefs say you can't read Salat behind them. You must remember that. So we say our fatwa Salat is not permissible behind them. If you tell me, then we'll go to another masjid rather. So that is our fatwa on the gate. Third one, go read your Eid Salat where it's such a masjid where you know the imam belongs to Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Sinners, we all are sinners. We all commit sins. But when people commit sins and they openly commit it and they justify it, that's the crime. Sins we all commit, but they justifying it. You must remember that. That's where it becomes just like shaitan, hishbu shaitan. Why you don't make sajda? Mamanaka Allah tajuda idabartuk Allah a shaitan iblis qala ana khairum min. So he said that I am better than him. So what does it mean that is better than him? He said that I am better than Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Allah forbid, iblis said. Then he even gave his so-called evidence which it I justified. Khalaqtani min nar wa khalaqtahu min tin. You created me from fire and the flame goes upwards. You created him from tween and sand and dust and clay. So that just remains on the land and sand. See how he justified it. Allah expelled him forever. So therefore, we can't just be reading Salat behind Hakullu man habba wa dabba or Harkas wa Nakas or Tom, Dick and Harry. I gave you in 3-4 languages there. So you must remember, we must be careful behind whom we read our Salat as well. Today, some of these people make imam, but Allah alone knows whether they even read 5 daily salat or not. You know, in my travels, what things I saw. So you must remember, people, characters, you must remember. So we don't read salat behind them. So you must remember that. You rather go make your own jamaat or you make your, read your salat alone and so forth.
Mufti Sahib, the next question is from a Shafi listener, and he's asking that if there is no place or no masjid that is following the Shafi madhab, where can I pray my salat?
Remember, we all are Muslims, my brother. For Shafis to follow Hanafis, Hanafis to follow Malikis, Malikis follow Hanbalis, all that is permissible. See Eid day. I give you easy example. I am thrice I made Salat in Cape Town. Thrice, I think. You understand? So I'm Hanafi. So how many thousands of people there, that the Shafis and so forth, and they all read behind me. So if I go to a place and I'm making Eid, like we in Makkah, Medina and these places, so you might, oh, Eid, other place also. So where they are, Hanbali Imam, Shafi Imam, whatever. So you read Salat behind the Imam. So there's no problem. We all are Muslims, but we must belong to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is the big criteria that we should remember these things here. That is very, very important. So that's where all the mix-up comes about nowadays.
Mufti Sahab, our women folk are inquiring that we don't have the chance to go to the masjid and we don't get that feeling in the mornings. What can we do? And can we go for the Eidgah?
You must remember this one here, the women is not like what you saying, Mohazahi. They want to become big, big scholars in this. They say, no, the Sahabiyat, they went. And the hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. They even will tell you the Rawi and the Rawiya. They will tell you Umme Atiyah's hadith and so forth. So normally, we had this discussion how many times for past 20 years, you must remember that. So first thing you must remember, that not one of the schools, no Shafis, no Hanbalis, no Hanafis, no Malikis say Eid Salat is compulsory or anything. No one says that. If anybody tells you it's compulsory, they're lying. Not from the four schools, no one says that. That's first masala. Second one, if you bring about the Bukhari argument, so now I will tell you, this is Jawab, one of the many answers, that in Bukhari Sharif, it also comes, Ishrabu min Albaniya wa Abwaliha, that you must drink the milk of the camel and the urine of the camel. So now if your person takes the hadith, says Bukhari. So what you will say? You will say, no, let us go and study the text and the context and everything. Those were a group of people, they fell sick, their stomachs got blown up and what have you and so forth and so on. So now they tried this, they tried that, so it didn't work. So Nabi alayhi salam received wahi and revelation, go and drink the milk and the camel of the camel and the urine. So in that way there, Allah will give you cure. So that is Allah sabili tadawi. When there's no other option, then as the last option, it will be acceptable. So you must remember that. Now the question is this. In Quran, in Sunnah, in Sahaba, and in Fiqh, there's four steps. Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, Sahaba. We can't forget that. The Fatawa of Sahaba. And the fourth one, the four schools. My daughter, we just say my daughter. So my daughter, tomorrow is Eid. Now can she wants to go to the Eidgah or even the masjid and say, no, I want to read Salat there. So I will pose the question to her, that is it permissible for women to go without any conditions or with conditions? So any person in his right mind will say there must be conditions. So one condition, the women cannot wear new clothes and go and parade there. Second one, they can't be applying makeup and so forth. Third one, they can't be intermingling. Fourth one, the woman must leave before the man. Fourth one, there must be no media in the TV and all these things. Yeah. Sixth one, you must remember that the imam you're going to read there behind and so forth, can he see you on the TV screen? Because today everywhere this chap's on TV and so forth. So, or can you see the imam on the TV screen? Say, no, put for the woman on TV there so they can see the imam. So I'm asking you, is everyone here is against Quran and against Sunnah? Almighty Allah Jalla Wala says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Go and open Surah 33, verses 32, 33, and go see what Quran says. One. Number two, Hadith Sharif, authentic Hadith. If anybody knows Hadith, and then go open Tirmidhi Sharif and see. إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةِ, when a woman leaves her home, وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَ, and she applied perfume, makeup, mascara, and whatever woman applied. فَمَرَّ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا, and she passed the man, and went there, the man can see her, all these things. فَهِيَ زَانِيَ, she's an adulteress. She is an adulteress. Who's saying that? Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen, who was, who is, who will always be the only Rahmatulil Alameen, mercy to the entire universe and creation. Two. Three, you want Sahaba, Abdul, go open Targheeb wa Targheeb, Sahihu Targheeb wa Targheeb, that is by Sheikh Albani, you Salafis, go see there. What Sheikh Albani wrote there. So you must remember about Jummah Salat. that Abdullah the Mas'ud used to stand there by the door, and the women used to come, used to tell them, go back home. Go back home. You got no business to be here. You know what is dalalatunnas? When Quran Kareem states, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, you can't say uff. Then F and B's and all that, obviously you can't say that. Common sense will tell you. Although common sense is no more common nowadays. So, if you can't come for Jummah, then how are you going to go for Eid? I mean, you want to discuss academically. So that next one, I want to ask you sisters, now you want to go to the Eidgah. You know, that same hadith that you're quoting of Bukhari, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the huyas, the ladies in menses, must come because wa yashhadna da'wat al-muslimin, so they can participate in the dua and so forth, and they must stay on one side. So now we live in non-Muslim countries, this, that. So all the ladies who are in menses will be one side. So all the non-Muslim people will know that this is a jamaat that is now parked, they got their menses. Is that what you want? So use your common sense a little bit. So you want to participate in the dua? Yeah, I'm speaking to you. Thousands of people are listening. So we make dua every day. Yeah, you must remember that. Sehri time, iftar time, other times. So that you're listening in the comfort of your home. Is that not better than you going there? So for you, ladies, ka'inan man kan, whoever it is, so remember, it's haram for you to go to an Eidgah, to go to masjid and so forth. One bright spark will come and say, no, all these conditions you mentioned, my wife, she fulfills it. My brother, Islam does not pass fatwa and verdicts for infirad, for individual cases. Islam looks at the majority. What will the majority do? You must remember this. This chap is playing cricket, but he's reading five times salat. He got dust, beard, he got topi, he got dust. The law is not made for him. The law is made for 90% who will not read salat. Those who will take the money from the alcohol industry. So that is what you have to talk about. So that is an example I give. So the point we must be clear on, that every condition that is stipulated is violated. So how can that be jais and permissible?
Mufti Saab, on this topic, there was a program recently conducted in a so-called Islamic environment whereby four women's programs were promoted on social media, and they were conducting programs for other women. What does Mufti Saab have to say about
obviously
this?
We are against all these type of things. You must remember this type of things, that how many of these women who are conducting the, therefore you do program with me. When a lady comes on air, meaning we don't allow, we just say they must send the questions like that on WhatsApp and all that. So and the men also send questions like that. So anyway, so it's the same thing. So the point I'm making here is what I tell them, say, me, I'm a alima. I say, you forget your alima business and say you're a taliba. I say, I'm student till now. So where you can be alima? So you must remember these type of things here. So you must remember that first of all, that me, I'm against this. I'll be very honest. That giving them big certificates and telling them you're an alima and this, they start growing horns already. You must remember this. That's why so many of them, they're niqab breaks. You must remember. I don't say all, but so many. Because they grow horns. You must remember. So you can't have that. You must understand that are the ladies qualified enough to teach what they want to teach? Or they want to teach the modern Islam, the redefined Islam, the American Islam, and so forth. So these are all issues. See, simple, I give you. Simple lesson. Hammam ibn Munabbah, his imam, he said, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, one of his greatest students, he said, Kustadi Quran. Inna kayda shaytani kana da'ifa. The plotting, planning, scheming of shaitan is very weak. But for women, Inna kayda kunna azim. That your plotting, planning, scheming is very, very big. So you see, people will twist the whole. You say, we said the women are worse than shaitan. We never said that. We said when the women look for loopholes and when they start plotting, planning, then they can cause much damage. Remember that. So therefore, all these things we say is totally unacceptable.
Mufti Saab, the listeners are anticipating your Eid message. Can you please give us a good Eid message for us, please?
Chalo, I give you all Eid message. You can listen to my message tomorrow, inshallah. But it will go on this way, yeah. This is my Eid message. 5, 6 points, 7 points. You can write it down, Maulana, it will help you. Number one, we are here for Eid. I'll start like this. What is the meaning of Eid? So remember, if you go in Arabic, you got Ada Ya'udu Eden, Odin Wa Ida. So I'm not going to explain all that to them, but I just tell you now in A, because a lot of students listening. So Ada Ya'udu Odin Ida. So it means something that returns, something that recurs. Another meaning of Eid is happiness. And the word of Eid is mentioned once in the Noble Quran. You see, the companions of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were called Sahaba. Ashabun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, words like that. And the Hawariyin, they were people who used to wear white clothes, or they were washermen who used to wash clothes and so forth. So the Hawaris, that are the companions of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, they said, chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 114. Chapter 5, verse 114. Rabbana anzil alayna ma'idatan minas sama'i taqulu lana idan li awwalina wa akhirina. Yeah, that's what the surah is called, Ma'idah. So, chapter 5, verse 114. Ya Allah, you send down for us the dastarkhan. Send down for us the table. Laden with food, Ya Allah. And it will be a means of happiness for us and the latter generations to come, and a sign from you, Ya Allah. So, remember, that is what they requested and so forth. So, Eid. So, how will you translate Eid? You take both meanings, a recurring happiness. So that is now min haysul lugha, from the linguistic point of view. Then what is the historical perspective of Eid? There was no Eid Salat and that in Makkah Mukarrama. After the migration, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw people there, and they had lahuma, lahum yawman, they had 2 days, and yalabun bihima, they used to play and dance and all. So Islam came, no, abdalakumullahu bihima khaira, Allah gave you a better replacement, open Mishkat and all that you will find. So you must remember that Mustada Ahmad and so. So Allah brought Eid al-Fitr, 1st of Shawwal. Eid al-Adha, 10th of Zulhijjah. Why? It is connected, related to an ibadat. Ramadan Mubarak finish. Now you go to where? La'allakum tashkurun. That you go and thank Almighty Allah. Allah malaka shukru kullu. Allah malaka alhamdu kullu. Ya Allah, all praise is solely only for you. All gratitude, thanksgiving is only for you, O beloved Allah. And remember, Eid al-Adha is connected to Hajj. You finish the greatest dimension perspective of Hajj. Al-Tirmidhi Sharif, Al-Hajju Arafah. Had al-Hadith Ummul Manasik is the greatest action a person can do in Hajj. So that is to be in the day of Arafat, 9th of Zilhijjah, in the plains of Arafat, Maidan Arafat. And the next day is 10th, remember, so Eid al-Adha. So they're both connected to this. And see another point here, the beauty of Islam. Yesterday morning, this morning, what you did, you woke up 3:30, 4 o'clock, 4:30, some people, and yet they read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakats tahajjud. You lit that noor, that radiance, that effulgence. Now that effulgence must get bigger and brighter. So your 5 daily salat, you go to the nearby masjid, small masjid, musalla, whatever. And then Jummah time comes, then that noor, that radiance gets bigger and brighter. So we go to the Jami Masjid, Jummah Masjid. From the house, local masjid, local musalla, big masjid. Then Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha, leave the masjid and go in the open field, open terrain to the Eidgah. We must take Allah's name there. Zayyinu a'yadakum bit-takbir. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illa Allahu, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. So the Quran teaches us for both Eids, if you look at the words, wa litukabbirullah ala ma hadakum. So you will find it for Eid al-Fitr and you will find it for Eid al-Adha. Kadhalika sakharaha lakum litukabbirullah ala ma hadakum. Allah Ta'ala made this big animal, subjugated it to you. And then we have the greatest assembly of humanity, and that is on the day of Arafat. 2 million, 3 million people, one Hajj was 4 million as well. So you must remember this. So that is the nur starting, the radiance effulgence from your house. And then our message is global, international, every Muslim, male, female, adult and child. You have to make special dua tonight, today, tomorrow, every day for the Haramain Sharifain. The Kuffar Shias are just waiting that they can occupy it and take it over. That is one of their main aims. Masjidul Aqsa, the Jutlas, the Jews, the apartheid Nazi regime, they are just waiting to take over Aqsa al-Mubarak. If you go to Hebron, Khalilur Rahman, the Ummah doesn't even know these things. You ask 100 Muslims, if 10, 20 know, you'll be lucky. So you must remember in 1994, on a Saturday, 15 Ramadan, by us it was 16 Ramadan, done there. And remember Fajr time, Baruch Goldstein, the Nazi terrorist Zionist, came and he shot the people dead in the masjid. Premeditated murder. 29 people died, became shuhada. The others succumbed to the injuries. The death toll went to 70 or so approximately. So what the apartheid Nazi regime did, they stole our masjid, and the Muslim Ummah, the Arab dictators and tanpot dictators kept quiet, did not say one word. So I read Salat Day in 89. The whole masjid is ours. I read Salat Day in 92. When we went in 95, 96, whenever, you saw they partitioned that masjid. Front Muslim, back Jews. So that is what they want to do with Aqsa. And our brothers, our children, our sisters are saying, Biddam, birruh, birruh, biddam, nafdika ya Aqsa. Even today I sent it out. You, the esteemed listener of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, I can only request. I sent it out, and if you go to my phone, you will see it on both numbers, 071-888-1184, 083-578-6035. My status, I got that message there. Birruh, biddam, nafdika ya Aqsa. With our blood, with our life, with our blood, we give it all for you, O Aqsa. It's non-negotiable. You must remember that. No one can convince us otherwise. So that's one. So put Masjid Aqsa, put everything, anything to do with Aqsa on your status and show the world we stand with Aqsa. Number one. Number two, yesterday on behalf of Darul Iman, I sent out a message. We demand from the people of this world of justice and conscience. Today they want to tell us about 6 million jutlas and all that. I sent it out today. Where's the evidence for that? So they exaggerated it. What Hitler did, you must remember, in the early 30s, he gave 6 million people job. So you must remember, that was something Hitler did. So from there they got the idea that we must use the figure. But we saying that this is a reality. We demand the right of return for our Palestinians, 6 million of them, who are in the diaspora, who are scattered in all parts of the world. So they must also have the right of return. Why only is it reserved for the Jews? So that is second point. And third point, Iqra, start reading, serious reading, and make dua. Inshallah, Aqsa, Palestine, the whole world will come back to us. That is the promise of Almighty Allah. Inshallah, may Allah make us part of that army that will liberate Al-Aqsa, Al-Mubarak, and Palestine, and Palestine. Inshallah, quickly, let me give you the rundown of the program. Now is the news with Brother Yusuf Ali. Thereafter, Maulana Suleiman Qattani, mashallah. And then 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 1:30 to 1:05 to 1:30, Maulana Junaid Hashim, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, 1:30 to 2, Tafsir from our archive, Surah A'raf, chapter 7, verse 73. 2 to 2:30, we will have our special Ramadan Q&A with Brother Suleiman Esop. Then 2:30 to 3 will be our Maulana Zahid Khan with the special madrasa, mashallah, of Markaz Sahaba. And 3 to 3:30 will be the repeat of this morning's Q&A. And all of you, and anybody wants it, ask me. We'll send you the clip and the whole program. And then, inshallah, 3:35 or so to 5 o'clock, inshallah, Brother Al-Amin Templeton. And thereafter, remember, will be Hafiz Wadi. And inshallah, the programs will continue from there. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
From us in the team here at Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say Jazakumullahu khairan, and we will switch over to the news now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran.
Markaz Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.